There is a name above every other name. And at that name, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. We exclaim that now and forever. Amen and amen. I want to take just a moment to thank those who worked during our 10-day evangelistic outreach. We promised to those who attended all of our meetings that we would give them a Bible. The last night, we did not have enough Bibles, and there are two recipients that we need to honor our word with. So I'd like Taylor and Tori, if you're still here, just come on up if you would. We wanted to. Now, I'll let you know that this Bible is not the same as your sister's Bible. When I went back to the ABC, they had no more of those Bibles left. So I got you one as good as hers. All right? It'll be a different size, but it's just as good. All right? So congratulations. Thank you for participating and coming every night. Thank you for participating. Thank you. Can you give them a round of applause? Thank our ladies. We will continue our journey. I know it's been some time. We had been talking about faith before our evangelistic meeting. I'd like to continue that thought today. And I would ask that you would focus back to here. Amen. I would ask that you would focus back to here, back to the Word of God, that you would put yourself, your mind, in a frame of reference where you can hear God's word. Would you do that? It was one of the strongest fortresses in the world. Had two walls. One was 6 feet thick and the other was 12 feet thick. It was Jericho, a battle-tested city. Jericho was the principal seat of idol worship. They especially devoted their worship to the goddess of the moon, Ashtoreth. This happened to be the city on the way to the promised land that God had promised for the children of Israel. So God wanted this land taken. So God devised a plan and gave it to Joshua. And this would become one of the greatest victories ever achieved by Israel, but also the strangest. You are familiar with the story. If you would turn in your Bibles to Joshua, the second chapter, if you would. I'm just going to give you a highlight. I'm not going to recount the whole story because everyone knows the story. In fact, if you'll turn to Joshua and look at the second chapter, you'll find that God sent some individuals out to spy the land, to survey the enemy. And that's what you see in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Achaia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." Now I'm going to do something. I'm going to skip ahead because I know you know the end of the story. God gives them a plan, and this is the plan. What I want you to do is march around the city with the Ark of God blowing trumpets. That was the plan to take the city. First, you are to assemble the warriors together, then priests who have trumpets, and then the priests who would carry the Ark of God. And finally, you would follow with the army, maybe 40,000 men who would follow behind. And you would march around the city one time, once a day, blowing the trumpets. But on the seventh day, march around the city seven times. And so on the seventh day, they march around the city seven times. And on that seventh circuit, the procession stops. And the priests blow the trumpets. And it reminds us of last week when the earth shook. It was bigger than 5.4. Whatever it was, the walls came tumbling down. Every one of you knows the story. And the army of Israel takes the city. But there is more to the story. That great victory was a result of something that seems minor, but it was very important. You see, that city was taken by faith. It took faith to march around the city blowing trumpets. But the victory also came because there was a Canaanite woman. In fact, the Bible specifically calls her a harlot. Now, you'll read some writings. Even Josephus said she was an innkeeper. She was not an innkeeper. This is exactly what the Bible said she was. And her name was who, everybody? What? Rahab. Who? That's the title of my message. Who? Rahab. There must be a mistake. Rahab. Verse 2 of chapter 2. And so the spies came into the town. Now, I can't explain this. They were supposed to be seeking out the enemy. They end up at Rahab's place. You could take that for what you want to take it. Were they off duty? What were they doing in Rahab's place? Well, they were there, and the Bible says, so they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country, in verse 3. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out those men. We have come to you and have entered your home, your house, for they have come to search out all the country. And Rahab turned the men in. Is that what happened? No. Rahab exercised faith and hid the men and told the king and his armies that they've gone that away. They run looking and never find the spies. And so when you read on, you'll find that Rahab made the spies promise that when they come to the city, that they would remember her and her mother and her father and her brothers and her sisters. You know what I like about Rahab? In fact, if you look at verse 8. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof of chapter 2 and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when you came out of Egypt, what you did to the king of Amorites, who on the other side of Jordan, Sion, and Og, and whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as they heard these things, our hearts melted, and neither did they remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, listen to this, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. And then she said, I want you to promise me, when you come into the city, spare not just me, but my whole family. See, Rahab heard about the Lord and believed. Many times we hear about the Lord, we wrestle with the Lord, we hear things, we wrestle. Rahab heard about the Lord and believed. Just that simple. I mean, I'm amazed at that kind of faith. We hear, but we refuse to believe. She heard, she believed. You know what else I like about Rahab? Rahab believed and acted. Faith without works is what, everybody? Dead. James 2 tells us about that. You can't have faith and never do anything. When you have faith, it ought to result in something. Rahab believed and acted. I don't believe you can stay in a church over a long period of time and never do anything. I'm absolutely blown away by that. Some people have been in the church and they will never hold an office. And they think that's okay. They will never volunteer for anything. If you have faith, you have works. You know what are the consequences if Rahab, what it says, I believe, I have faith, and then not acted? The Bible says that when Joshua and the army came into Jericho, they killed everything. They didn't leave anything except for Rahab and her family. Had she not acted, you know, the walls were coming down. She would have been right in there. So it's not enough just to believe and never do anything. Faith and works. You know, I've always been amazed. I don't know how Rahab, the Bible doesn't tell me this. I have nothing to go on. I don't know, but evidently she, even though she was an outcast, even though she was a harlot, even though she was rejected by society, she trusted that the Lord would not reject her. The Lord would not abandon her. Rahab somehow knew that with God, things were better. She took advantage of the opportunity to better herself and her family. Amazing woman of faith. And oh, how God blessed her. When you read Matthew 1 and verse 5, I mean, you can't even get through the beginning of the New Testament without coming into contact with guess who? Rahab. You get at the beginning, the chronicler of Matthew names in the genealogy four women: Tamar, Ruth, Bathsheba, and guess who? Rahab. And really, at least three of the four have sordid backgrounds. They do. And God names them in the genealogy. And so I say, Rahab. Who? Rahab? You don't mean Rahab. And Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. That's Matthew 1 and verse 5. And Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse. And you know, that ends up with David in good company. Rahab? In Hebrews chapter 11, when Paul lists the heroes of faith, and they're great, he lists Enoch. He triumphed over death. Great man of God. Walked with God. He named Noah. Noah had such a faith that he could preach for 120 years and still have confidence that God would fulfill his word and bring the flood. 120 years. What a great man of faith, Noah. Abraham, we had a sermon on Abraham. Abraham was willing to take his only son and raise that knife to slay his son. What a man of faith. The father of the faithful, Abraham. Moses, great Moses, never a leader like Moses. Moses was willing to turn his lot over to Christ than to have all the treasures of Egypt. Moses, never a leader like Moses. And on that list comes who? Who? No, you don't mean Rahab. What in the world is Rahab doing on the heroes of faith list? Rahab. There's Rahab. Anybody born before the Jericho account that ends up in heaven, and they hear the story of the walls tumbling down around Jericho, they're going to hear a name that they knew nothing about. And that name is Rahab. And when they hear the story, they're going to say, who? And they're going to tell a story about Rahab. I am convinced. Yeah, I really have dug deep to try and figure out, now, why, of all the heroes of the scripture, why would God put Rahab there? We're almost embarrassed by her being there. Well, I am convinced that the church, the Seventh-day Adventist church, and the Fallbrook Church needs more who? I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced we need more people from the wrong side of the tracks. Oh, help me, Jesus. We need more people who look like they... who? I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that the church needs more who? You know, it takes us out of our comfort level. We have to respond differently when who is there? Rahab. I'm convinced that one of the first words uttered in heaven will be, who? I'm convinced of that. Stella, when they call my name, when they say, that's Gerald Jones, there's going to be a whole lot of people shout, who? I mean, they're going to be surprised. Mike, when they call my name, they're going to be people who remember me when I lived on Douglas Street in Philadelphia. And they're going to say, who? I mean, it's going to be a look of surprise. I know you were looking, why with the question mark and three exclamation marks there? It's a question and a surprise all at the same time. And you know something I'm convinced of? There are many of us
are whose. The truth be told, if we were to dig in your background, we can pick up some real who. Oh, I know we dress up and we look good, but there's some who in us. There's some stuff we don't want anybody to know about us. And this is a place where we can kind of hide the who. We can come in here and look good, but the truth be told, some of us have some sordid past. We're not proud of some of the things we've done. You know, in a way, it is no way that we belong in heaven but by God's grace. Amen. You know, if someone was to had been in a coma for the last 2 years, and they would suddenly wake up, and we would tell them that John McCain and Barack Obama was running for president, what would they say? Who? I mean, think about it. Impossible. Well, it's going to be that way in heaven when they call our names. They're going to say, who? Rahab is in the hall of faith. She was not morally pure. She was not a follower of Yahweh in the sense that Israel was. But she had something. She had the kind of faith that I want you to remember and never forget. Rahab had saving faith. Saving faith is the faith that gets down to the heart of it. Because Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And the worse off you are, the greater is his grace. In fact, saving faith is the greatest faith of all. A faith that saves you. He is God of in heaven and above. He's a God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. You know, when we get to heaven, it's not going to be based on who. It's going to be based on whose. It's going to be based on the fact that we belong to Jesus. That's the only way any of us are going to get there. That's how Rahab made it. Because when we get to heaven, you know what we're going to discover? Billy Graham said that someone wrote him once and said he wanted to go to hell because all of his friends are going to be there. I'm serious. Somebody wrote Billy Graham that. They don't get it. What you're going to find out when we get to heaven is that many of the people who should be there are not there. And many of the people you think shouldn't be there are going to be there. All I know, I don't care if the whole heaven shouts, who? I want to be there. How about you? I want to be there. I don't care. You can laugh when they call my name, but I want to be there. That's all that really matters. Lord, get me there. In fact, when you really get into the meat of who is in the scriptures, in fact, the greatest writer of the New Testament, Paul, was a who? In fact, a lot of the Bible characters are who? Who've given their heart to the Lord and let the Lord use them. Amen. We got some who in here that God wants to take and use you. And oh, how he'll bless you. Oh, how God wants to bless you. There's a story as I close. You don't have to turn there. You know the story from Luke 15. One of the greatest stories in all the scriptures. Son goes away. He tells his dad, give me all your stuff. Give me all the stuff that belongs to me. I'm tired of being here. I don't want any more veggie links. I'm leaving. He gets up and leaves and he goes. He goes far away where none of the members can tell on him where he's at. And he gets there and has a hard time. The economy's not going too well. He loses everything. He can hardly get a job. Gets a job feeding swines and wish he could have the food that the swines have. Wouldn't you know, he came to himself and says, I'm going home. And when he gets close to home, his father's there. And his father says, I told you so. Get yourself back into that far country. I don't even want to see you anymore. You've read the story, see? You've read the story. Is that what the father does? Or does the father embrace him? Kiss him? Get the best stuff. Bring it. Let me put it on my son. In fact, let's throw a party. You know what we're going to discover when we get to heaven? You know what this is all about? When we get to heaven, we're going to look at Rahab, and we're going to look at Gerald Jones, and we're going to look at others. And you know what you're going to say? Oh, how God loves us. That's what we're going to say. What a love. What a God. God, let me be there. Let me be there. How about you? Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, what a God you are. This is not just about Rahab. Yes, she believed and acted. Faith and works. And she was saved. It's no different than today. We need to believe. And then we need to act on that belief. And you will save us. No less for us than you did for Rahab. And then you will bless us. Lord, everyone here today wants to be in your kingdom one day. Lord, make that a reality today as we give our heart to you. In Jesus' name, amen.